I hope that you are comfortable with praise and worship of God. If you're not, you better get there. Because I personally am of a conviction that God has given us our time upon the earth to develop the capacity for enjoying heaven. And if I read my Bible correctly, there's going to be quite a lot of praise and worship going on there. My passion and my desire would be that we would become like the sinner woman in Luke chapter 7 that we talked about. Man, doesn't that seem like a long time ago? And that was just Monday night that we talked about that. Remember the key ingredient that we wanted to learn from her life at the feet of Jesus? Was that she became so conscious of the presence of Jesus that she became oblivious to the presence of others. You know, praise is vitally important in our lives as believers. As a matter of fact, praise precedes and prepares for deliverance. You got something you're really wrestling with that doesn't seem like you've broken through yet, or you don't have an answer from God, praise Him. Praise Him for it. As an offering up of saying, God, I know you are capable and you are able. And trust Him through that process. We're going to actually talk tonight in the main message about the importance of our daily time with God. And if you are not at this time having one, I hope to be able to at least place in your hands just some practical tools, kind of a planting truth, some practical tools that will help you beyond these days. Now, we're going to take time tonight now to share grace-giving principle number 6. And let's see, just by way of review, I don't know if you've been writing these down or not, but grace-giving principle number 1 that we learned is that before I give anything materially to God, I must first give Him what? Myself. After the example of the Macedonian Christians, and by the way, you can go ahead and turn to that passage again, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Because that's where I made a notation as we were going through it, if you remember. And I said, make a note of verse 8. We're going to be coming back to it again. And we are going to go back to that passage here again tonight. For principle number 1, this they did not as we'd expected, but first gave themselves unto the Lord, and then they gave unto us by the will of God. And then he encouraged the people that they, as they were in growing in every other grace, that they were to grow in the grace of giving as well. And then we learned the principle, you remember, I must be willing to be made materially poor, if necessary, in order that I or others might be made spiritually rich. Now, who was our example for that? You can talk to me. Jesus. Right. He was indescribably rich, became indescribably poor, so that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. And boy, has that happened. Amen. To allow us to be sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, as we were looking at last night in our family session. And then we learned principle number 3. We made a list, you remember, of all the material possessions that God has entrusted to us. And we said it is accepted according to that which a man has, not according to that which he has not. And God wants us to learn how to give out of that which we have. Not what somebody else has, what we have. And then we built off of that principle the next night with grace-giving principle number 4. I've done it for too many years, Rodney. Grace-giving principle number 4, and that was the importance of transferring the ownership of everything that I have over to God. And that's one of the reasons that we made the list. I hope you've taken a time in your quiet time at some point to get that list out and say, God, I want to go on record. This car is yours. Some of you may say, yeah, you can have it, God. This car is yours. God, this house is yours. God, these children are yours. These clothes, God, you get. Transfer the ownership of everything I have over to God. And what was the tangible rubber meets the road evidence that I realized that I'm a steward, that is a household manager, and that I've transferred ownership over to him? The owner what? has the right to make the final decision. That's right, with anything on that list. And so we transferred ownership over to him in those things. Now, last night we shared grace-giving principle number 5. Tonight, number 6, I'm going to refer back to number 5 in a couple of minutes. So let's look at our passage here, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 8, which we already read, but we're going to refer to it again tonight for grace-giving principle number 6. Notice what he says. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Remember, he said, I am using the example of the Macedonian believers to stir you up in your areas of giving. By the way, Paul talked a lot about giving, you know. People might question his motive, why he was doing that. But when he wrote to the Philippian church, he commended them. Why? Because you are the church that is connected with me time and time again concerning the area of giving and receiving. And he said, it's not because I desire gift. He said, I'm not doing this to pump my wallet. But I desire what? Fruit that may abound to your account. And so he said, I'm using the example of other believers, now the last part of this verse, and says, to prove the sincerity of your love, or to prove the depth of your love. Here is grace-giving principle number 6, and if you want to put a title and you're writing these down, title it, Levels of Giving. And here's the principle. The deeper the level of giving, the greater the expression of love. The deeper the level of giving, the greater the expression of love. Now, if we knew only one verse of Scripture in all the Word of God, would not that verse demonstrate this principle? What do you think that verse would be that I'm referring to? John 3:16. For God so loved, how much did God love the world? B.R. Lakin used to say, when God wants to do a big thing, he doesn't take big words to do it. How much did God love? God just so loved. Little s, little o, no, huge s, huge o. God gave the dearest thing that he had. What did he say? The deeper the level of giving, the greater the expression of love. And so, what are levels of giving? I'm sure you could go through the Scriptures if you studied the area of giving, and you might find more levels than this. We kind of tried to break them down and simplify them to suggest that there are 3 basic levels of giving for all of us. The first of those levels is what we would call obedience giving. Some people might call this systematic or regular giving. This is what we as believers hopefully have grown to the place where we are doing this on a regular basis. That would be giving out of your regular tithes and your offerings to God. Now you may say, Tim, do you mean to tell me that's Old Testament tithes? You mean to tell me that you even think New Testament believers ought to tithe? Don't you know that was Old Testament and that came out of the law? No, folks, that did not come out of the law. Tithing was practiced hundreds of years before the law was ever given. Abraham tithed unto Melchizedek. All that the law did was explain to us a couple of things about that tithe, and here's what it said. Number 1, the tithe is holy. That means it has been set apart for God alone. And ownership, the tithe is the Lord's. Already is. So you see, there's a sense in which until you are giving beyond your tithe, you're really not giving God anything anyway. It's already His. And I pray, although I don't know, I'm assuming majority of us here, anybody that's good enough to come to a church service on a Friday night, surely they're already systematically practicing your regular tithes and offerings into the church where you worship on a regular basis. If you're not, I would suggest to you that you begin to do that. You say, but Tim, you don't understand. We can't afford to tithe. Guess what? You can't afford not to. Did you know that? What does the Old Testament say in Malachi? What will a man rob God? Could I give you a piece of advice here? I know you say you've given us enough advice this week. Let me give you a little piece here on Friday night. Folks, it's not wise to steal. Did you know that? But listen, if you've done made up your mind you're going to be a thief, You just made up your mind, and that's the character of your life and what you're going to do. Let me give you one little piece of advice. Steal from somebody that can't catch you. Right? I mean, God sees it all anyway, doesn't he? Malachi said, what will a man rob God? Lord, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. I believe, honestly, that if you will put God first, if you never have, if you've never started, if you will put God first in this first, and it's basic, it is the first area of giving. If you will put God first in that area, you know what will happen? Supernaturally, God will allow you to go further on the 90% that you keep than you would have had you kept the entire 100% and robbed God. And if during these days, we have no way of knowing, I haven't talked to Rodney, I doubt if he knows the books and knows who gives and what they don't give and stuff like that, it's probably safer not to give. I don't have any clue. But if during these days, if you've never, maybe you're a baby believer or maybe you've been saved for lots of years, but you've never even started taking that first challenge, I would challenge you during these days, perhaps even right now, before you leave the service tonight, you may need to pull out your checkbook, write out a check for your first tithe and start giving toward the needs in this local church. I think, Rod, you'd be willing to accept that, wouldn't you? I thought you probably would. Give it to him. He'll see to it that it gets in the right source. Systematic, regular giving. That's obedience giving. Assuming that we're there, what's the second level of giving? The second level of giving is faith giving. And faith giving is giving, as it says, what God clearly prompts, but I cannot see or figure out. Listen, if you can put a pencil to it, figure it out, bottom line it, and you're still going to have this left at the end of it, it doesn't take faith to do that. Why? Hebrews tells us that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith giving. If you remember last night's principle, and I told you I'd refer back to it, that was a faith giving principle. Remember what it was? We must learn to give today, and this was out of verses 13 to 15. We must learn to give today out of our abundance or supply to meet the needs of others, believing, there's that faith word, believing that tomorrow or next week or next month when we have a need, God will use the abundance of others in order to meet my need. Faith giving. It's possible maybe you've never even gone to that level of giving, and maybe God will challenge you with that during these days. Someone has said that the barometer of a Christian's life is their calendar and their checkbook. What you do with your time and what you do with, and I use this phrase loosely, your money. Because they all belong to God, right? That's what we talked about last night. The owner has the right to make the final decision. So, giving what God clearly prompts, but I cannot see or figure out. And then you trust God to fulfill that principle we talked about last night. The third level of giving is what we will call sacrifice or sacrificial giving. And I have to tell you honestly, folks, Rodney and I were talking a little bit today as we were praying about believers around the world. I am very hesitant, honestly, to ever use the word sacrifice related to American Christianity. We do have brothers and sisters around the world, some that are suffering greatly for their faith, and we, to a large degree, don't even have a clue about that. Listen, if you never keep up with something like Voice of the Martyrs, and if you're on the internet, they have a newsletter or something that goes out, get in contact with that, so that you can learn how to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering for the cause of Christ. But the third level is sacrifice giving. And sacrifice giving is giving out of our want or out of our need, or if you will, what we actually need to live on. It's interesting how God illustrates sacrificial giving in the Scriptures. Old Testament and New Testament, what he chooses to use as an example is widows. In 1 Kings chapter 17, if you just want to put a reference down there, you remember the first night we talked about 1 Kings chapter 18 and Elijah on Mount Carmel. You remember that there was a famine going on in the land at that time. Why? Because God had told Elijah, you go and proclaim it. He did. He said, there will not be dew nor rain, nothing at all, except it come at my voice during these days. And God said, go hide yourself. And he did. And God told him to go and hide himself by the brook Cherith. And Elijah stayed there by the brook, and as this drought continued going on, day by day, he would get his water out of the brook, and God would have birds who twice a day would bring him meat and bread. Have you ever wondered where they got that bread from? I sure have, you know. But anyway, twice a day, he's eating pretty good. God's bringing him meat and bread twice. And finally, it came to the point, the drought began to impact that area, and even the brook Cherith dried up. And so what happens next? God tells him there in 1 Kings chapter 17. He says, now, I want you to go. And he didn't leave there until God told him to. I want you to go over into Zarephath, and there is a widow lady there, and she is going to sustain you through the rest of the famine. So Elijah picks up everything. He goes over there, and he finds this woman out there collecting firewood. She wasn't collecting much, two sticks. She wasn't going to need much of a fire. And Elijah saw her, and he said, could you give me something to drink? She goes, and she gives him some water. He's testing her. And he says, what are you doing? She says, I'm getting ready to go down. She said, I'm going to make a fire. I'm going to take the last little bit of meal here in the barrel. We're right at the bottom of the barrel. I'm going to take it and the little bit of oil that's left here. I'm going to make up a meal for my son and I. We're going to eat it and die. That was it. Their last meal. And so here's Elijah. You know what he said? He said, well, go ahead and do as you had planned, but bake me a little cake thereof first. Now, he wasn't talking about Betty Crocker, you know, Heinz or anything, Duncan Hines or what's that? Is that cake mix? He wasn't talking about, you fix me a little meal first. And you say, that selfish prophet, he's been eating good twice a day. Fresh meat, fresh bread twice a day. They're on their last meal and he makes her give him some first. Why? It was her test. Would she sacrificially give to God? And the scripture says that she did what he did, said. She fixed him a meal, and then she fixed some for she and her son. You know what the scripture says? From then until the end of the famine, the barrel of meal was never empty and the cruse of oil never run dry. Now, I don't think it was overflowing. You know, there were some where they collected all the barrels and they were just overflowing with oil. Not this time. I just believe every time she got ready to come in there and fix a meal and she'd pour that thing up, well, looky there, you know. She'd grab that cruse of oil, well, look there, it's still sustained. And God told him that it would be that way until, and here's what Elijah told her, until the rains fall from heaven, God's going to take care of us in that way. She had given out of what she actually needed to live on, and God honored that. Interesting now, you come to the New Testament, Mark chapter 12, and again, the story of a widow woman. At the end of the chapter, and you're familiar with this story, Jesus and his disciples are sitting over by the treasury, and he's watching the people, and it must have been quite a show, because this was the time for people to come, and they're giving into the needs of the treasury, and here's rich people coming, and they're giving great riches and spices and all those types of things to sustain the temple, all of that taking place. And then, almost unnoticed by the crowd, here comes the woman we come to know as the widow woman with the widow's mite. You remember? She came over and perhaps nobody else noticed her. She placed in those two little coins. And Jesus was so impressed with what she did that he called his disciples over. He said, fellas, come here. Did you see what that woman just did? She just gave more than all. Notice that. Not more than any. More than all of the others. And his disciples must have said, what? Lord, no way. You saw that rich, you saw what those rich people, look at them, even the way they're dressed. Why? There's no way she gave, how can you say she gave more than all of them? He says, I'll tell you why. Here's the principle. Because they gave out of their abundance. But she gave out of her want. Out of what she actually needed to live on. You see, folks, in order for God to determine the level of our giving, he looks not so much at the size of the gift that's given, but at what's left over afterwards to determine at what level we gave. It's possible that for one person here this week in the area of giving, sacrifice might be $5. It's possible for another person they'd give $5,000 and it would not be sacrifice. Why? Because it's not the size of the gift, it's what's left over that determines how we have given. He said, they gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her want, out of what she actually needed to live on. We were in a revival meeting years ago, a widow lady. Her husband had been a fireman, and he had died. She's a fairly young widow lady. She came up to us one night after the services. We'd been teaching these principles. She came up and she held up the keys to her car. It was a new car. At that time, it was a Toyota Corolla. And this is probably 20 years ago, okay? It was valued at $9,300. She came up, held up the keys to her car, and said, here, God told me to give you my car. We knew her situation and so on. You know, ma'am, we can't take your car. Well, we know your situation, your little children. Why, if anything, we ought to be given to you. Would you go back and pray and be sure that's what God wants you to do? She said, okay, sure. She went back, came back to the service the next night, waited until the end of the service, came up, held up her keys, and said, God told me to give you my car. We again hedged, you know, and hesitated. Ma'am, we just would not feel. Would you do something? Would you please go pray again? Because I'm not sure you're hearing what God wants you to. She said, okay. She came back the next night, came up after the service, held up her keys, said, God told me to give you my car. Again, we hesitated at that point. She said, you know, you've been teaching us all week that obedience is doing what God tells us to do when he tells us to do it with the right heart attitude, and you're sure making it hard for me to obey God. We said, ma'am, we're really not trying to make it hard for you to obey God. We just want to be sure you're hearing from God. Would you one more time for us, please? Would you just one more time go and pray? And if you come back tomorrow night and God tells you to give us your car, we won't hesitate. We'll receive it for the ministry as from the Lord. Would you pray? She said, sure, I will. She came back up after the service the next night. She came up. She was smiling, but she wasn't holding up her car keys. She said, you were right. God didn't want me to give you my car. God wanted me to give the car to the church and give your ministry a check for its value, $9,300. And we thought, you know, we better go on and take this before it gets any worse or better for this widow lady, depending on how you happen to figure it. That one widow lady gave the equivalent of $18,600 in her gift to the Lord that week. Now, you may be thinking what we were thinking. Well, her husband must have had real good insurance and this and that. And so we went and checked with the pastor afterwards. He said, I don't think so, but I'll find out. He came back to us a couple days later. He said, you know, between her giving that gift of the car to the church and giving your ministry a check for its value, $9,300, she has almost wiped out the account that she had. She's got two small children that she's raising. We left town. There's that widow lady. Now, we happen to know after that because we kind of watch things like that to see what has happened, and God sustained her and God laid on the heart of somebody else in the church and they came over and they gave her a vehicle. But she had given out of her want to demonstrate the depth of her love to her Lord. I really don't know how God would apply this to your heart. We came to the love gift box one night, opened it up, and one person in the church had put their food stamps inside the love gift box. Folks, we didn't need those food stamps. We couldn't use those food stamps. Listen, but she had to give them. Do you understand it? It was her way of demonstrating the depth of her love to the Lord. I remember a 9-year-old boy came up to me one night. He said, God's laid on my heart that I'm to give your ministry my color TV. The boy had a 26-inch color TV in his room that he played his video games and stuff like that on. And it wasn't so much the giving of the TV as it was saying to God, Lord, I'm surrendering this area of my life over to you. Okay? So let's bow our heads together in prayer. And let's take a moment just to reflect on this principle and how God may want to apply it. Remember this, the deeper the level of giving, the greater the expression of love. Obedience, faith, sacrifice. You take the time to pray about what God wants you to do. As a husband and a wife, I hope that you're comparing notes and talking together and praying. At the end of this time, Pastor will come, lead us in prayer, and share any burdens and announcements he has on his heart as we continue.